What's happening? It's
Contact
Season 2, Episode 39. Man, a big shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby B Presents. I would not be able to do this show without y'all. I appreciate y'all, brothers. Man, it's your host, Zylo, aka DJ Wine Dollars, like I won some money. Man, today, I got a very, very special guest. I'm talking about he's a young, talented brother from Sacramento that's been really putting on for his region and putting on for the sound. I feel like he has definitely left an imprint that's gonna last a long time because of the quality of the music he's making. I'm talking about personally, in my playlist, I got Ruthless in there. I got I Know. That was my shit with Mike on there. I'm excited for the highly anticipated project dropping. Love Don't Cost a Thing. I'm talking about Free the Lost on One More Oso in the Building.
That was such a beautiful production. I mean, introduction. Thank you, bro. That was beautiful. I loved it.
Hey, bro, it's all love, man. Shit, you know, if I could get back a fraction of what artists do on this shit, you know, me talking and shit.
Bro, I like you already. You cool, bro.
Oh, yeah, bro, it's all love. So, you know, man, how you doing during this quarantine and shit, man? I know you working.
Yeah, I've been working, man. I just stay with a routine. Last night, I was up to like 5 or 6, so I woke up at like 11, bro. I just been working.
I was going to say, bro, you look sort of whooped.
Yeah, bro, I'm tired, bro. I'm still going to work and get everything in that I need to get. I'm just tired, that's all. But, you know what I'm saying, we never sleep.
Hey, it's important that people see the real version of what it's like success looks like. Because everybody gets this like image of Instagram and them shining and all the like moments. Don't forget, like, you know, people gotta grind. They shooting in the gym every night.
For sure. It's real work into this, bro. Real work.
Oh yeah, especially being a artist.
I've been recently having writer's block, though. I've been trying to write something, man, but it's been kind of hard. I don't know what's going on. I got to get some inspiration, but it's hard to get inspiration when you quarantine.
I feel you, bro. But you know what? As we go through this show, that's one thing I hope I do leave with you is some inspiration to write some shit, because we're going to get into your history and, you know, some influences, and them influences definitely going to correlate to some songs being made, if that's the problem.
For sure. For sure. Let's do it.
All right, so I got a quote for you, bro. It's my icebreaker. You know, let me know how it relates to you or if it doesn't relate to you.
Okay, let's get it.
I've always had confidence. It came because I have a lot of initiative. I wanted to make something of myself. Eddie Murphy.
I feel like I didn't really start getting my confidence until I was like a senior in high school, because that's when I first got my job. So I could get the haircuts now. I can go get those shoes. You know what I'm saying? Before then, I didn't have a haircut. I ain't had the shoes, nor the clothes, nor the hose. You know, well, I did have a hose back then, but I really started to get them when I turned like 17. That's when they really just start coming in. That's when my confidence started.
But I would say, you know, the initiative is always there.
Like knowing it's gonna come.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I really manifest a lot of things. So I already knew what I was getting myself into and how things was gonna turn out, and it's really how things turned out. You just gotta have a clear eye view, honestly.
Absolutely. And you know, I feel like this quote relates to you because as you developed into this blooming you know, featured artist that's out there, you know, because I be feeling like everything's a piece of art. Like music's a canvas, and producers throw they paint on there. Don't even enough room for artists to throw some paint on there, and then you got a message. And so, you know, I be feeling like you have to have that in you. So it leads me to my next question: did the game choose you, or did you choose the game?
I would say I chose the game because just starting in choir in church, you know what I'm saying? Like, I already was singing, but it was my choice to really get into that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that. I chose to really sing. I thought I was going to be in the NFL, like football. I was playing, you know, football. I came to Southern California to play. I was supposed to go to Modern Day. It's a big high school out here, private school. Ended up going back to Sacramento, playing for Hiram Johnson. I went the whole year, like, we went 0-12, 0-11, something like that. And I just hated football after that.
Damn.
So I just was like, man, I'm finna start singing, bro. The thing is, though, my mom wasn't trying to let me sing while I was in high school because she wanted me to graduate first. So I literally had to wait till I was like 18 or 19 to start recording.
Wow. So you
trying to hold me back?
You still singing in the church? Was you singing in choir, like, or was you
took around that? Around that time, I wasn't still going to church as much because when we go to church, it's my granddad's church and it's in Vallejo. So it was in the Bay. So every time we was going to church on Sunday, we had to drive all the way to the Bay. So we wasn't going too often. And I just said,
you don't know. He's talking about an hour and 30 minute drive up to 2.5 hours, depending on traffic.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. It was fun, though. It was for sure fun.
Huh. I can imagine.
Yeah. So
how did that choir sound translate to this melodic segment brilliance that you have now?
I feel like just being able to sing is just beautiful. And singing to a crowd at the church that helped my stage presence. That's what I would say really helped. But I still haven't learned how to like control my voice and do certain things. If I learn how to do that, it's over. So I just got to get some singing lessons, honestly.
And see, and that's dope because, you know, for those who don't know, Marmar has over like 10 million streams like within 3 songs on Spotify.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I don't really know how to sing, bro.
And it's real humble because he's like, I still got to go back to school to learn how to sing better. This is just, you know, my stepping stone. And then I work and climb.
For real, man. You always got to, like, you always be better at something. Always.
Right.
Always. For sure.
So I had 112 on my show in the first season, and I got real bold. And I was like, you know, Slim and Mike, why do you guys make love music? I know y'all grew up in the Atlanta projects. Why do y'all make love music? And he's kept it real simple of like, you know, we wasn't thugs. We was getting all the girls.
Oh, okay.
I feel to get some pussy. And so, I got to ask you, where's your influence of love music and relationships wear on you and your craft?
Man, I always grew up being like a flirt, bro, and just always loving women. And I grew up with so much women, just women in the family. That's all I know. So that just helped, like, showing me how to treat a woman, you know, how to not abuse a woman, you know, just really just be affectionate and sensual. So I just love singing to women and just love talking to women. It's just the interaction with women. I just love talking to women.
Well, you got some real core P values.
Yeah, bro. I don't know. It's something about them women. I got a girlfriend now, but you know what I'm saying? Before the girlfriend, you know. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah.
Bruh, I'm married.
He said, I feel you. I'm already knowing, bro.
Man. Like, don't get me wrong. I love marriage. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. My children's ever. But,
yeah.
Boy, you go back to them earlier days.
Oh.
You are new.
The earlier days.
So, wow. Yeah. Yeah, let me be quiet because we're quarantined. My wife's in another room.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah. So bro, where was like your confirmation with music? When was something where you were like, you know what, this is something I want to do, but I got people getting involved, or you know, this thing went viral like this, or you know, what was that confirmation moment of like, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing?
After I dropped my first song, I already knew. I was like, bro, but am I ever going to have a better song than this? Then I waited 6 months to drop my next song. And Ruthless was my fourth song to blow up. So I did my first song, and then it took almost a year to write my first song. So I didn't drop my first song until I was 19, and I got out of high school at 18. So it's been 6 months, and I dropped the next one. I'm like, okay, that's doing smooth, too. What if I don't drop something better than that? Then I dropped the third one, like, a month later. I'm like, okay, this one cool, too. And then, boom, here come with the slow song. I'm like, ain't nobody gonna listen to this slow song. Then, boom, millions wanna listen to this slow song. It was just so crazy. Ruthless started going viral, like me recording it in the car, but I didn't know they would really want the song like that. I gave them the song, I gave them what they wanted, and it just started running up like crazy. That's crazy.
And so that pretty much bridged the way for you to start connecting with everybody else in SAC, or?
My fault, I had got a call. But in SAC, there are so many different artists I want to work with. It's just a lot of politics. So, you know, that's what messes up everything. I'm the R&B nigga that don't politic, bro. I'm the R&B nigga that don't politic. So I get along with everybody, but it's kind of hard when you want to just body a song with somebody, but you know,
oh yeah,
a lot of politics and stuff going on.
I mean, shit, I always say that saying to control what you can control and let go of everything else. You're going to get what's going to come to you.
Yeah, for sure. That's everything just aligns well. So if it was meant to happen, it'll happen for sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it aligned well for Free the Loss. Shout out to Davo. You know,
he the GOAT. Davo is really the GOAT. Davo's hella clean, bro. I'm telling you. He's one of the cleanest niggas I know.
Right.
For sure.
Definitely a power player of the next 10 years. For real. For
mm-hmm. sure. Yeah, I'm already knowing. I feel like I'm really on the verge of really just being big. Like, you feel what I'm saying? I'm right there. And it just takes, I just gotta meet God halfway, but I'm right there. Like, I just gotta put that hard work in. You know what I'm saying? 10,000 hours learning my craft, but I'm right there, and I know when I blow.
Well, you understand being an outlier.
Yeah, like, I understand that. Look, I got over like 400,000 Spotify listeners. I got millions of streams on different songs. I just feel like, how do I say it? I know my time is coming, but I'm not in a rush. Like, I'm okay with gradually, you know what I'm saying, stepping in. I don't mind that. I'm chilling. I don't care to be in the spotlight, no nothing. As long as I keep giving good quality music and not just dropping anything, come on now, they gonna have to come to the good music. I'm the one who's giving you something to really relate to and vibe to. And I'm not talking about no drugs. I'm not talking about this and that. You know what I'm saying? I'm really just trying to, you feel me? So.
Come on, bro. Yeah. You on Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents show. You understand me? Like, there's a reason why I'm at your door.
Like, yeah, I appreciate it.
Crap, bro. It's undeniable. You know? Mm-hmm.
I'm not in a rush, bro. I'm ready to just take my time with everything, bro. I'm gonna just let it come to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as we go from Ruthless song number 4 that you put out to now we got Love Don't Cost a Thing ready to drop. How would you feel like the highs and lows and the growth from then to now?
I would say the lows have been just learning different lessons. You know, you got to make mistakes in order to learn lessons if you don't got nobody helping you. So that's what I've been going through by myself, which is love. But high, I honestly feel successful, man. I'm in North Hollywood, got a beautiful girlfriend. I got money in the bank. You know what I'm saying? I'm chilling, bro. I'm feeling good, content. I'm writing songs here and there. I don't feel rushed in any type of way. I just feel like I'm living life and it's not a job. So I feel like I'm successful.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. But you know, the most beautiful thing about success is that once you start to build it, you realize it becomes a pinnacle. And as you try to reach the top of that pinnacle, it just keeps on spiraling and going up. And so you just continue to level with it.
Yeah, continue to elevate. And that's what I've been doing, man. I've really been taking this time to elevate and just do different things and just build new good habits. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to break bad habits and build good ones.
Man, you gonna give us some advice? Because, you know, I'm one of the people that came out the hood. It took me a long time to understand my value. So if you want to give some advice to somebody on that element of like, man, you got to break some bad habits. What's the best habit to break?
Okay. Some bad habits that were broken.
Just give me one.
So I noticed when I be around the house and I be alone, I don't just go straight to the trash. I leave the chips right there. And it's like cleaning is like an organized way of breaking bad habits. So pick them chips up, put them in the trash. You know what I'm saying? You gotta really just, it's little stuff like that. Just break any bad habit you got. Even it could be biting your nails. You know what I'm saying? Let your nails grow out, get you a little manicure. You feel me? How your nails nice. That simple. Just breaking bad habits.
Man, people forget if you bite your nails, you get crooked teeth. You can be mad you gotta get braces at 45.
Man, I had to get my braces at 20. That ain't bad. It's better than
45. That's what I'm saying. Shit, I'm eventually going to have to get mine. Or I may just throw a grill on and put some diamonds so that the diamonds...
See, do that. Just do the diamonds. You feel me? It's okay. It's all right, bro. Just do the diamonds.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I can't do that 2-3 years with some metal in my mouth, man.
Yeah,
bro.
This killing me.
Man, because you can't enjoy shit. But you know what? You're gonna have a good ass smile, bro. You be like, you know what? It was worth it.
Oh, every year,
for 3 years with this metal in my mouth, and you know what? I got the rest of my life to look at your smile.
Yeah. That's gotta be hella. That'd be crazy.
Back to on task. So, man, if you had to pick, you know, one point during your transition to where you are today, and you know, like, I'm excited for May 5th. I'm excited for that album dropping. You know, can you pick one moment where it was like, you know, I'm excited. This is monumental.
It was the other night, bro. I had just got done with an interview. My song was played on the radio in my city. And I just did another photo shoot. I just got my hair cut. And it was just the end of the night. I did all this in the day. Because I had to drive from L.A. to Sac to get a haircut. Nobody was trying to do my haircut in L.A. So I drove all the way to Sac and then handled all that. Drove all the way back. But before I drove back, I got to see my mom and my girlfriend. And so we just talking about the whole situation. And I'm like, bro, this is a blessing, man. Like, I did 2 interviews today. I'm on the radio. Like, you know what I'm saying? A song I made when I was 10, Dream Girl, was made when I was 10 with my uncle. And now it's on the radio in my city. So it's like, bro, this is crazy. Like, this is really falling through. Like, I wanted to cry tears of joy, but moms and the girls right there. So I was like, I'm going to hold this one there.
I feel you. No, I just saw that Dream Girl made over 1 million plays on Spotify. And that thing just came out.
No, I swear to God, I think we on the wrong one, brother. This came out like 4 days ago. I don't think it got over 1 million already.
I see something like that on Davo's story. But
no, I think it was just every time. My song every time just touched 1 million streams.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But okay. If Dream Girl did that, bro. That's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
If I'm spending my time, all I'm doing is manifesting greatness.
Okay, let's do that. I'm with all the manifestation, brother.
Awesome. People got to learn that, boy. If you don't, you're going to keep that 9-to-5.
Yeah, for sure. I learned that quick, bro. You just got to put your mind where your mouth is, or your mouth where your mind is. One of them, and then just make it fall through. You got to work for it.
For real. Man, everybody used to laugh at that moment on making a band, and they had to walk across that Brooklyn Bridge to get that cheesecake.
For real, I feel that. I had to work like 7 different jobs, bro, and I got fired from all of them because I was really on some goofy shit. Like, I couldn't sit down on nothing, bro. So immature and childish, but it's like I can't have a job, bro. I'm too fun, bro. I'm too goofy. Like, I just be having too much fun.
The universe works in mysterious ways, because you imagine if you was doing that job and they loved your goofy ass and they kept you working there and you didn't want to leave that to do music. Come on.
Hey, I mean, we love you, Marvin. We want to keep you here for 10 more years.
Yeah, we'll give you a dollar raise every year. Come on, don't leave us.
Oh my goodness. That would be terrible. But the transition from trying to go to work but still make music was low-key hard. Because you was trying to find time, but you were still trying to work, but then you got to find time to write. Like, I don't want to hear no excuses for nobody. Nobody. There's time. You just got to... you're going to have to risk sleep. You're going to have to risk not chilling with your friends. You're going to have to risk Bible study. You know what I'm saying? You could put in Bible study. But you got to risk a lot of things, man. You got to risk a lot of things.
Nah, I feel you, bro.
My fault. My girlfriend is calling. I just got to text my girlfriend and tell her to stop calling on this phone. My fault.
It's good, bro. I'll make sure my producer edits this part out.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I just got to make sure I tell her. But we good, bro. All
right. So I'm going to transition out the music talk and I'm going to get into my awareness segment. And this is where we get a little serious because, you know, I like to raise awareness And, you know, I have a topic where we talk about police interactions. And, you know, the moment when incredible lights hit, that high beam in the back of your neck and searching for the heads in the car, you hear that blunt sound. I'm talking about getting shit. You know, I like to take the time to, like, you know, if you had a little brother, you had a little cousin that was out there running around, or if he was innocent and don't know what to do, I take the time to ask my guests when's the last time they're pulled over and what advice they can give them.
The last time I was pulled over was with my girlfriend, and we were literally parked. We were parked in my neighborhood, and they was like, do you live in this neighborhood? What are you guys doing? We were literally having a writing session, bro, in the car, just chilling. And they just bothered us because they haven't seen us in the neighborhood, but it was a neighborhood that I was living in. And then a time before that, my bro almost got shot because he's in the driver's seat and they asked for his wallet, but he just left the gym. So his wallet's in his backpack, and he told him, he said, I'm grabbing my wallet. And so he's trying to go grab his wallet, and the cop reaches for his gun. And I'm like, whoa, what you doing? Like, I'm nervous at this point. I don't know what's going on. They asked us if anything was in the car. We said no. They said, can they check the car? And I feel like if you say no, you can't check the car, that's going to make them want to check the car. So he said, yeah, you can check the car. They went through the whole car. Bro, it was just too much, man. It was too much.
Shoot. Now, I had an OG on the show, and he was like, you know, whenever it comes down to they want to search the car, you just got to have it in your mind you're going to go to jail for the night, because you got to tell them no.
Okay, for sure. For sure. I would just tell them no. I'd be scared, but I don't know what they be on, bro. I'm not even trying to see what they be on, so that's why I'd be like, yeah, you can search the car, but I just don't want to get into nothing, like, you feel me?
Bro, what I've learned from this all, like, I got hella experiences. Like, I'm not the kid that you feel me, don't walk away from. I'm over there in the car with everybody. Like, I can tell stories on stories. So the whole thing is that, you know, you want to be the one that gets through the situation the quickest. The less time you spend with their ass, the better. Sit your ass down, and let's get to the next step of sitting me down, because I'm going to get OR'd. I'm going to get released on my own cognizance.
Yeah,
it's gonna go that route, so it don't matter what y'all doing. You're gonna do 3-4 hours of paperwork, I'm gonna be gone in 2 hours.
Oh, I feel that.
So, like, you know, you just gotta have confidence, and at the same time, you just gotta do it, be respectful, and get through the shit as quickly as possible. Because it's like, yeah, you know, if you ain't antagonizing or making the situation worse, and you just want to arrest me, fine, that's fine. You can have my ID, you can arrest me, let's go to jail, be my shit right here.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I feel that. It makes sense to just get through the process too. Not even have to do too much on that.
Yeah, because as I've, you know, through all these, this is my, like, let me see, almost my 80th episode. And, you know, and pretty much I've got from this whole thing is that everybody goes through some shit, but everybody doesn't think about the moment of what to do with the next situation and how do you de-escalate but get to the next point, you know, get to the point. And these motherfuckers, like, going in circles.
Yeah. I feel that.
But, you know, what's one thing you want to tell the youngsters? Because, you know, they're going to love hearing it from their favorite artists, you know. What can they do?
Oh, man. Exactly what you just said. Just stay respectful. I say listen and just... I don't want to tell them the wrong thing. I kind of... It's basically just what you said, honestly. Because I don't want to say it the wrong way, but everything you just explained to me, you feel me?
I feel you, bro. So, yeah, youngsters, go ahead. Hit rewind if I was talking too fast.
Yeah, so, go hit that rewind button.
You hear me? So, after I had this serious talk, I got to transition out and have some fun. I have this thing called Trading Places. It's like that, yeah. Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, they wake up and their lives have changed. And, you know, so I take two iconic people, we trade their lives, and then I ask you to think about it. The first question is will it work? And the second question is what would life be like if they traded places?
Okay.
So for you, I got Robert De Niro.
All right.
Trading Places with Mozzie.
Okay, Robert De Niro is, I know the name, but what does he play on?
like the Goodfellas, history movies, Godfather.
Oh, that Robert De Niro. Okay. He played the Godfather, right? Okay. Dang, switching bodies, switching places or bodies?
Switching places. I mean, yeah.
I feel like that'd be pretty funny, and I feel like Mozzie could play a Godfather. You feel me? But Robert De Niro being a rapper
from Sacramento, like, from the whole yeah, spot.
If they give Robert De Niro some good auto-tune, some good mixing, he gonna be clean. And Mozzie just being a Godfather, I think that'd be a clean look for him too. Or just acting, period. I would want to see Mozzie in some movies. I feel like that'd be crazy. We seen Mozzie rap inside, and we seen him do interviews and stuff. Let's see him act a little bit. Let's just test his character. I think that'd be cool.
I be feeling like Mozzie would play Mozzie in anything he does, the same way how Snoop Dogg plays Snoop Dogg in any role he does.
Mm.
Like, that's he true. Ain't gotta act, true. He can be himself.
Yeah, I feel like that's the same with Kevin Hart. Like, Kevin Hart could just be himself. Yeah.
So, that's what's true. One thing that'd be different if Mozzie was Robert De Niro and Robert De Niro was Mozzie?
One thing that'd be different, of course, the music. Like, come on. Can you imagine the music, though? Do you think it'd be clean?
I'm told that, like, you know, Italians is really, like, with the shit. And, like,
oh, no, I don't doubt that.
So, you know, I could imagine that he'd be on some real shit. Can you imagine Sleepwalking by Robert De Niro?
Dang. Yeah, I feel like he averted a beat though. I feel like it. And then just Mozzie with acting.
Come on, can you imagine?
Like you said, he'll naturally just fold into it, bro. He'll naturally fold into it. Don't even give him a script.
Improv. What was that last movie that just came out, The Irishman or whatever? You know, the about the mob, and he was the Irishman in the mob.
I don't think I've seen it, bro. I don't think I even seen a preview.
Oh, bro, you sleeping on Netflix. I understand. You make music.
Nah, I gotta watch more Netflix. I've been watching All American. That's a show I really like.
Hell yeah. Nah, I fuck with that shit. Bro, I trip out because that fool's from London.
I know, bro. It's crazy. I thought he acts really good. Like, he's a good actor.
Bro, like, when I seen it, I was like, come on. He really portraying the role. I would have thought, like, he was really from out there.
Yeah, bro, he's hella cool, bro. I like him. I like the whole cast of that show.
Yeah, me too. I fuck with the show. I watch that shit heavy. I ain't watching
it. Yeah, I do too.
I waited for it to hit Netflix so I could watch it all in two nights.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, no, I watched it all in two nights. No bullshit.
Oh, damn. Oh, okay. I haven't watched it recently because I'm waiting for my girlfriend to come back so we could just catch up together. So I'm just waiting on her.
I understand, bro. Trust me.
Yeah. She gonna be in my ear if I just watch it without her. You was watching it without me.
Nah, bro. And then the worst be like when we be hella busy and like, I don't know, for me, Power was on. And so like my wife has to wait to watch Power. So I'm back from work and shit. And I be gone for a few days. And then she be like, man, I've been seeing all these memes and I can't watch this shit. And it be like.
Hey, look, I do the same for you.
Exactly.
Exactly the same.
Exactly. So, bro, I got this next segment. It's called Impulse Q&A. And, you know, the whole idea is for you to respond. It's they're like from fans. I get, you know, they're on these cards. I take them random. And then you have an option to pass, but you got to answer three questions.
It's all good. Let's do it.
All right. Bet. So, one, two, three, boom. Question number one.
All right, let's do it.
What's something I'd never guess about you?
Let me see. I'm trying to give you a fun fact here. I was hella clean at football, like growing up, hella clean. Like I got a whole highlights and everything. And I went straight to, after sixth grade, I was already playing for what, like 4 years, 4 or 3 years. After that, I've had scouts on me, and my mom moved me to Southern California for better, like, competitiveness. Is that a good word? Competitiveness. Yeah. And just, I was going crazy, bro. Like, 7th and 8th grade year, those were really my breakout years. And I was supposed to go to a big high school, like I was telling you earlier. Huh?
What position?
I played wide receiver. I played running back. I played safety. I played corner. Like, I just was playing different positions.
So, bro, you had wheels. You had to have wheels. You still got wheels.
I had wheels, but when I went to the USC football camp, it was called Camp Kiffin because that was the coach at the time. Yeah. Them kids out there made me look slow, bro. Like, I thought I was hella clean till I started seeing all, you know what I'm saying, all these different kids. It was just clean, bro. But once I came back to SAC, I lost the love for football, bro, because just the whole way my team was and everything. No disrespect to my team, but this disrespect to my team.
Come on, bro. I be blaming the
coach. I said no disrespect, bro.
Like,
bro, we lost every game, bro. You understand that? I've never been on a team that lost every game.
Bruh, I went 1-9 my senior year, and we went 2-8 my fucking junior year, and we had nothing but talent on the roster. We just had shitty coaches. And
oh, that's crazy.
Like, bro, we talk about this shit all the time. Like, bro, our quarterback had all these scholarship offers, and this motherfucker got shot in his shoulder, got stabbed in some motion, and still played in the game. Didn't get the bullet removed. Like, he was that much of a thug, but bro, he put up 4,000 passing yards, almost 1,000 rushing yards. He was
that's crazy. I gotta meet, bro. He tied for that. An All-American, bro, gets shot in his shoulder, and he just done for the season.
Yeah, nah, bro. David Gage. Shout out David Gage. But my folks, he ended up going on a high-speed chase and a shootout after he graduated high school. Bro, you know, places, bro. Hell, bro. It's you can Google that shit. It's in the newspaper and everything.
Dude, she was going crazy. God damn.
You know, when you in it, you feel me?
And you really in it.
It's on you, and you in it, you're going to get some shit to happen. You got to remove yourself.
Yeah, I feel that.
Question number 2. What's the funniest name you could think of for a pet?
The funniest name?
Yeah, for a pet that you could think of.
Sparky.
Sparky? I want to hear you call Sparky.
Sparky! Look. That's what I'm gonna name my dog now. I gotta name my dog Sparky. It just sounds like a dog name though.
It do. It's going. What type of dog? Rottweiler? Or you gonna get one of them expensive dogs?
I want like a either a pug, bro, or the little bulldogs. So when that be drooling something, like they be hella cute, like the little fat ones.
Just
like it, like a little bulldog, like
a little bully,
English bulldog, yeah, a little cute
the bullies.
Mm-hmm.
Question number 3: what things do you do every day that you wish could be automated?
That was probably the best question. You say the best one for last.
It's random, but if you want to give me that credit, I'll take it.
He said, if you want to give me that credit. 3 things. I wish. I'm really trying to think. Okay, let me think. I didn't have to work out and it's already just like in there, you know what I'm saying? But I have to work out. Let me see. Another one I wish. When I walk outside, like I already got a mask on. Like it's just inbuilt. Like it just
like Sub-Zero. Zoom.
Like a Power Ranger. You feel me? And then I'll be driving somewhere every day. Cause you know, on some essential stuff though. You know what I'm saying? I remember if I gotta grab this or grab that. I wish I ain't have to go to the gas station and the gas just was unlimited. Boom. Those are the best. You got the workout, the mask, and the gas. Come on. That's a hard win right there. That's a hard
win. I ain't lying. But see, it's crazy. It's if it wasn't for coronavirus, you would not give a fuck about a mask. That would never be on the top. I want some automated money. But that's the now truth. We gotta survive. Stay 13 feet away.
Hell yeah, that's the truth. I ain't gonna lie to you.
So, bruh, let me ask you this. What are you most excited for coming up? I know we talked a little about Love Don't Cost a Thing. But you know, what are we excited about coming out? You know?
I'm writing a book. Yeah, and it's gonna be a nice ebook. I honestly wanna write it about how to get over heartbreak, how to become ruthless. You see what I'm saying?
Hey, that's dope. But you should do it for like high schoolers.
Cause those are, for sure,
crazy in love and don't know what to do.
Okay, for sure. Like, set it on a certain age group.
Yeah, like,
and I have a lot of smaller crowd too.
Bruh, that's something I feel like the number one reason why I feel like you're gonna transfer that heat into real big stardom here soon is because you cater to that 15 to 19 crowd very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, anybody that really understand music and understand how this business works, the OPM's in the 15 to 19 crowd.
Okay, yeah.
And you you sell to it so well, bruh, because all those emotions, all those daily things that, you know, you face, they are growing into those feelings or wanting to know what that stuff is like. And, you know, you say it so well and clear, you thought Dr. Dre was making you could do syllables.
Appreciate you, bro. I just be trying, man. I just be trying to get my point across and be as relatable as I can be, you know what I'm saying? Something they can relate to. So that's what I just be trying to do throughout my music that I create.
Man, bro, let me ask you this before I go into the last segment. How you feel about the show?
Oh, I love the show. It's cool, bro. I feel comfortable. I'm not feeling no type of way, no awkwardness, no nothing. It's chill, man. I like your vibe.
Bet, bro. Appreciate that. So, I do the end of the show. If you notice, the show is a little bit unique. I do ask a little bit of the same question, but I ask it differently. We take different routes to get better views. You understand me? So, at the end of the show, I flip it back on you and say, you got any questions for me?
What do you feel like was the best decision you've made in your life so far? One of the best decisions. You got three choices. See, I just did that echo here. You gotta pick three different choices. What's been like the best decisions you've made? Three of them.
Okay, number one, getting married. Just because it slowed me down. I was hella active and wild, and that just slowed me the fuck down.
And yeah, I feel
like having a wife and a kid, like, number one, slowed me down and made me really focus on the bag. Number two would have to be starting this show. And number three would have to be finding, like, JP Bangs told me like 6 months ago, I need to find a way to get my body into the speaker and be more involved with the music.
Okay, yeah, I like that
moment right there. You know, you got to find your way into this speaker, and what you've been doing is cool, but you know, if you want your life to change, you got to do this. And so I was able to do that, and you know, I feel like those three things are the best decisions I made so far.
That's dope. Yeah, that's perfect. The show, bro, I'm loving the show for real. It's dope. I definitely want to tune in more. You know what I'm saying? If you ever need another special guest to come through, play some games, any of that, bro, I'm on here, bro. Anytime.
Shit.
Sure. I feel that. I seen Akon say something similar. Three things that can get you into a door is your integrity, your reputation. What do you say? I don't know the third one. I thought I did. It's integrity, reputation. Oh, and your word. In your word.
I always trip out because you go back to Scarface and that motherfucker said a long time ago, I got two things. I got my word and I got my balls. And, you know, I always think about that. Everybody always talks about that, you know, like, you know, being real, this, that, and the other. But if you say as you do and do as you say, you know, you doing as what the OG told us way back in the day.
Yeah, just keep your word. For sure. I feel that. I feel like keeping your word is everything, honestly. And I never really paid attention to it, but like, from now on, I want to keep my word. It means way more to me than it used to. I used to break promises and everything, but a word means everything to me now. and I want people to be able to trust in me.
I feel like you're about to make a song. I feel like
I should.
Because you know, definitely be like on that verb, you know, being a verb, in an action, everything, action on a noun.
Okay, all right, hold on. Now I think I done found that inspiration I was telling you about earlier that I couldn't find. Yes, sir.
Man, it just, you know, 45 minutes to go through the show one time. But, you know, as we get ready to make the second lap, that's why I disappear and you collect, go and collect that $200.
Well, I like that one. Hold on. I like that one.
Oh, shit. Man. Bruh, I appreciate you, man. It's Contrast Uncut, Season 2, Episode 39. I've had the pleasure of really rocking with Marmar Oso. Like, honestly, I'm a big fan. And, you know, shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D. Presents, because I would not be up to this show without y'all.
Shout out to him.
Yes, sir. And shit. I hope, you know, from this thing, the millions that haven't listened to you yet, because we know the millions have, but, you know, they adapt on to this truth. Because, you know, it's only a matter of time for this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to just keep working.
100.
You do the same, man. You do the same. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Marmar Oso, and I'm chilling with Contrast Uncut. Let's get it.
Hey.
Man. Okay.